Hi, welcome back to Leader Feeder. For those who are new here, I'm Suzanne Jakes, the Marketing Coordinator of Unique Training and Development, and this is...
Hey folks, I'm Kirk Langford. I'm the General Manager here at Unique Training and Development.
So Kirk, for Leader Feeder, we like to sit down and discuss, you know, tips or strategies to help these frontline leaders
Do their job a little bit better,
make their life a little bit less stressful.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So today's topic is really great because we're talking about how to handle maybe some more difficult conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
Why do you think that these conversations are initially like so hard for a manager to have?
I think the conversations we're going to talk about are ones that involve performance, which is always tricky. Essentially telling someone that they're not doing something well enough is a tricky thing to do, right? Because we want to do it while trying to preserve their dignity and hopefully they don't get too defensive. And those are just challenging, right? Because we often say we like feedback and we want feedback, but then when you actually get feedback, it can be really challenging to hear that. So I think that's one piece. I think it's something we don't get a lot of practice doing, right? We do lots of different things, you know, growing up in school, for example, we work on lots of different skills, but providing feedback isn't necessarily something we practice and therefore not something we get very good at. So I think that's one of the main reasons is that it's just this interesting piece where we're talking about something that causes a bit of tension, perhaps a bit of confrontation or conflict.
The dread of trying to like have these conversations. Yeah. I think they are tough. I sometimes struggle. So I think this is an interesting conversation. So we do have three, you know, like conversations that every, you know, manufacturing supervisor or frontline leader
will want to get better at.
Yeah, exactly. The first one that we're going to talk about today is addressing poor performance. Like you'd mentioned, you know, when you have to address poor performance with people, it can be a little scary. But specifically, how to address poor performance without making someone else immediately jump on the defensive. Because we know that confronting people with issues or, you know, it can make the other person defensive, right? Automatically, they'd be like, it wasn't my fault. Or, you know, so how would you address poor performance without making someone defensive?
Yeah, diving right into the first one. So when it comes to addressing poor performance, I think what you want to try to focus on is the behavior that's causing or that you feel is causing the poor performance. So there's kind of two pieces there. One is that don't focus on the personality. So, you know, saying something like, oh, you've been really lazy lately and that's why your numbers are down. That's kind of focusing on them as a person, that they're just a lazy person. And that's going to get someone's back up a lot more than if you were to say, hey, I've noticed that our numbers are down. You know, can you help me understand what's going on because we're not meeting our quota? You're not saying anything about who they are as a person. You're lazy or you don't care or anything like that.
And you're not making assumptions about who they are.
Exactly. So you want to avoid, you know, using things that describe them as a person rather than just specific behaviors. Hey, I've noticed our things are down. Our numbers are down. Hey, I've noticed you've been coming in late recently the past couple of days. We need to address that. So try to focus on the specific behaviors that are causing the issue. That's, I think, the first part that's leading to the poor performance. I think another thing is involve the person in the conversation. So you might have some idea as to why the performance isn't where it should be. And maybe you've been in the industry a long time. Maybe you can look at this problem and go, I know exactly what's causing the issue. Or maybe you don't. Maybe there's stuff that you aren't aware of. So if you can involve the person in the conversation, present them with the issue. Hey, there's a situation. Our numbers aren't where they need to be. You know, it's affecting performance. Can you help me understand why that might be happening? From your point of view, what might be happening and how can we fix it? You're involving them in the conversation. And because it's now going to be more of a dialogue and less of a monologue where you're just kind of, you know, chiding them for everything they're doing wrong. I think there's a much less, it's much less likely that they're going to become defensive because you're asking for their input. You're saying, hey, we both recognize that we have numbers we have to hit. We can see that we're not hitting them. Help me understand what you think we could do from your point of view to make this better. So I think that's an initial piece we need to think about. I want to make a note about the defensiveness piece in that there are two kinds of defensiveness that we tend to talk about in our own programs and sort of in general. There's a passive defensiveness, which is sort of defending by flying under the radar and just kind of giving up and just going, okay, fine, you know, So when I say, oh, you know, do you want to, are you okay with this? Yeah, it's fine. Do you think you can commit to making this change? Yeah, whatever. So it's this sort of passive, don't really get into it, just sort of say what needs to be said to make the conversation end.
They just kind of like agree.
Yeah, they just kind of agree for the sake of ending the conversation, right?
Not with any intention to actually change
So that's a form of defensiveness. And I think that's what we tend to see a lot of in society, where we're generally sort of passive people and we just kind of let things slide, even though it does frustrate us or something does make us upset, for example. And so I think a lot of addressing poor performance conversations can be met with passive defensiveness. Okay. So the person's like, yep, no, you're right. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the other piece of it, the other side of that story, is sort of aggressive defensiveness, where...
Which I think is what we dread, right?
Yeah, it's what we tend to expect, yes. Right? It's when we think they're going to come up with, for example, excuses, and they're going to be like, well, listen, this isn't, you know, I'm not the only one doing this, or like, hey, why are you on my back about this?
Right.
Or come on, it happened only one time. Where that's what we tend to be afraid of, is that more aggressive defensiveness, okay?
Yeah.
And then the third one we want to hope for is what we'd call kind of a constructive reaction. So someone that goes, you know what? Yeah, that's a fair point. I appreciate you bringing that up. And then, you know, when you ask as the leader, what can I do or how can we make this better? They go, well, that's a good question. Let me think about that. Mm-hmm. Here's some suggestions. So what we're hoping for is constructive,
yes.
Right? Where we're looking towards a resolution and hopefully a win-win. Right? But we tend to see a lot of passive defensiveness and a little bit of aggressive defensiveness. But my whole point there, I'm kind of long-winded in getting to it, but my whole point there was that it's okay if there is some defensiveness, because we don't get not only do we not give a lot of feedback as leaders often, but we also aren't used to getting a lot of feedback, and maybe not in the best way. And so don't be worried so much. You know, here I'm speaking to the leaders out there that might be listening to this. Don't worry so much about the reaction, because it's still better that you're giving the feedback. And the reality is that if you're a newer leader, or you're a leader who is new to giving feedback and it's not something you've been doing often, you just kind of let things sweep under the rug and just hope it gets better on its own, and you start giving feedback,
yes.
You probably will be met with some defensiveness, because mm-hmm. this is something your team isn't used to. But know that the more you give feedback in a constructive way, and the more that you, the more regular it becomes, it will be met generally with less and less defensiveness. I mean, if one person on your team constantly feels picked on, for sure. I mean, then it might not die down as much. But if you're giving helpful, consistent feedback to everyone on your team when it's warranted, when it's needed, mm-hmm. then you should find that overall the amount of defensiveness decreases, because instead of feeling targeted mm-hmm. or punished, they're going, oh, this is a leader investing in me doing things the right way and improving all of us as a team.
Yeah, they become like regularly accepting to feedback, I guess, right?
Exactly.
The first few times. So you're right. Like
you
with new leaders,
of feedback.
Or someone who's just going to start producing feedback or having these kind of conversations, you might be met then with a bit more, like, I don't want to say hostility, that
could
seems
be.
Excessive,
could
but
be.
You know, hostility, but the more you do it, you're saying is the better people are going to be able to accept
exactly.
it, and the easier
they'll
that conversation is going to have, right?
The other thing I'll mention related to that is in our course, we ask a question we have for quite a long time in one of our modules, where we ask about, when you've given feedback to your team in the past, what has been the general reaction? Has it been, you know, well received or not so well received? And in many cases, you know, I would say it's probably over 50%. They say not as well received, you know, a bit of a negative reaction, whether that's the aggressive negative reaction or the passive negative reaction. But either way, they're not like, hey, thanks for the feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is then we ask a follow-up question, and we ask them, in those situations, you know, when you gave feedback, did the person change? So did they change in the way that you were hoping they would change when you provided the feedback?
Mm-hmm.
And either yes, they changed, or no, they kept doing things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of people that we poll on this respond, yes, they changed. So what that tells us is that even when people are negative to the feedback, they receive it negatively, they're still, in most cases, changing. And that's the other reason I say, don't worry so much about the reaction, whether it's defensive and whether there's a little bit of defense, or even a lot of defensiveness, mm-hmm. to be honest. Because what we're hoping for is them to change. And yes, we want to get, we hope to deliver feedback and performance feedback, especially in a way that doesn't get them defensive. But at the beginning, what we need to focus on is, are we changing the behaviors that are causing me to have to bring up this feedback conversation in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think focusing more on, is the change happening or not is more important than focusing on, well, did they take it, did they get mm-hmm. defensive or not? So mm-hmm. we focus on the defensiveness because it makes us feel cringy and uncomfortable mm-hmm. and scared. But at the end of the day, delivering those hard conversations, they are hard because of the fact that, you know, there might be defensiveness, but what we need to focus on is, am I delivering it in a way where people actually change and still feel, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, valued and know that I'm doing this because I care about them and that I want the team to do better and perform better.
Nice. Yeah. Really great stuff there. Mm-hmm. Lots of tools and things that people can think about when they need to address now these conversations with people. Moving on to our second kind mm-hmm. of hard conversation, yeah. I should yeah. say, between people is, and you'd kind of mentioned it there, is confronting negative attitudes mm-hmm. or maybe even like disrespectful yeah. behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone's being negative on the floor or, I mean, heaven forbid, disrespectful, because, I mean, that's, I mean, you need to address that almost promptly, I should say, right? Nip it. So how would you suggest that these frontline leaders go about having a conversation to address that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a tricky one.
It
for
is
sure.
a tricky
if someone's,
one.
You know, especially if someone's kind of perpetually negative and you're trying to turn that around, that can be tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we say generally is that it's very hard to, it may maybe even impossible to really know or change someone's attitude, like how they think about something. What you can focus on are the behaviors. So what they actually say or do rather than how they think. And it seems like a small thing, but if you go to someone and I say, you know, Suzanne, you're always thinking really negatively about things and you always assume that nothing's going to work out and whatnot. Right. Again, that's going back to what we talked about before a little bit with where I'm almost putting words in their mouth because they might say, well, I don't think that. But if I say, you know, last time we brought up that project or that idea, you were the first one to say, this isn't going to work. And as much as I appreciate that you are trying to vet the ideas that are coming out, mm-hmm. We want you to try to be a bit more open-minded at the beginning and communicate in a way that shows you're open to these ideas a bit more.
Right. Not so shut off or dismissive.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah,
of.
Exactly.
Okay, well,
so that's a good word to use is dismissive obviously gets connected to negative, right? So if someone on your team is that person that when someone suggests an idea or comes up with a solution, there's that person that's the naysayer, right? Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, that's a terrible idea. Oh, we tried that before. That can be really discouraging to the rest of the team, especially if you have, you know, new members of the team that are trying to show their worth, get involved, have ideas. And if they're being constantly met with negativity, that's tough. So in terms of, I think, how the conversation goes, I think you want to stay calm. I mean, this applies to all conversations, but especially dealing with negativity and dealing with that potential disrespectful or insubordinate behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath. Honestly, it's really hard to stay calm sometimes when you feel like someone's attacking you personally. But stay calm. I think try to zoom out 10,000 feet. And by that, I mean, most cases, people, well, maybe not most cases, in some cases, in a lot of cases, I think, this isn't really about you as the leader and the person. It's probably that they have a more negative attitude in most areas of life. You know, it's probably not that they go home and they're a happy, super joyous person, and then they come to work and they're completely grumpy and negative. And so it's easy as the leader to take that negativity personally and assume it's kind of a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a lot harder to stay calm in the situation.
Okay.
It makes it a lot harder because it feels personal.
I can see that.
And there's an emotional
attachment
or connection to that conversation or to that behavior now, rather than just, they just tend to be a bit more of a negative person and I need to address this.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing, recognize that it probably is not as much about you as you think it is. And it's probably just more, again, their attitude or their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And maybe they've been like this for years, right? So then it's really not about you in that case. It doesn't mean you don't want to try to work on it though. So stay calm, take a deep breath. As much as you can, as much as you need to, document everything. And I know that sounds like when it comes to our conversation piece, you know, how does that help? Well, documenting everything means that when you decide to have a conversation, and hopefully it's something you address promptly, which you should. But if you've been maybe waiting to see if it's a trend or something, the better you document things, the more you can go to that person, whether it's for disrespectful behavior, or negativity, and say, you know, on these instances, these are the things you said, and this is what the problem is with those things you said or the way you acted.
Yeah, you're almost coming to the table with facts, right?
Exactly.
Data, as much as you might not want to present it like that.
Yep.
It's like, well, on January 3rd, this is what you said, right?
But yeah, I think it's more about saying, hey, in the past month or so, we've had at least three instances where your behavior hasn't been really acceptable in front of the team and towards me. And that's what I'm here to address. So you're right. It's not so much about on January 3rd, you did this. Yeah. It's more about I have at least three instances here where your behavior wasn't acceptable that we need to discuss or that we need to, you know, think about. So I think that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. It's not this log to say, you can't tell me I'm wrong because I documented it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about just saying I'm noticing a trend and that trend's not good.
And then as the supervisor, we talk about this, you know, quite a bit. Like you can, instead of making quick assumptions or, you know, Sally came to me and said this and so now you go to her and say, you always say this, you always do, you know, now you actually, right? We talk about that a lot about, you know, you and you and I actually talk about this a lot, even within marketing, like you kind of have the facts without being like, oh, well, we do it this way because it's always this way, or we do this way because we never have it. Yeah. Well, it's like, and then you always ask the question, well, Suzanne, when you say never, like, is that never actually how many? Yeah. So then by documenting, you kind of have a more focused approach, or maybe focused isn't the correct word, but you're less likely, I suppose, to use vague language where you're
absolutely.
Like,
and that's not gonna
you're
help
always
you.
Negative, you're always saying these things, you've been disrespectful so often.
That's
like, how often?
Yeah, right? And what are the specific things I'm saying that you're considering disrespectful, right? Because, I mean, arguably, something negative could be very different from something disrespectful.
That's true. Yeah,
and so I think you're right that you want to have it documented and you want to be very precise and specific when you can be, right? Because otherwise you're going to run into this problem of them saying, well, I'm not like that all the time. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to say, well, yeah, three or four times in the past month is more than I'd like to see, right? That's more than what's okay. So
great. Yeah. Good stuff. So let's wrap this up with our third difficult conversation to maybe have. And I do believe that this one might come up the most, maybe not because I'm not a frontline leader, but I feel like we talk about this one maybe the most, is how leaders can have a conversation with somebody about lateness or accountability. Because I feel like, I mean, frontline leaders, you can let me know in our comments if I'm wrong in saying this, but I do feel like that comes up quite often.
Yeah, it certainly comes up in our training
a
lot.
Conversation
as our,
to have.
The participants who are, of course, frontline leaders, it comes up a lot that those are pieces, you know, whether it's lateness, taking on accountability or holding their people accountable.
Right.
Those things are things that come up
because
a fair
maybe
bit.
They've even thought that they've had this conversation. Like maybe they're like, well, I do talk to, you know, Rebecca about this.
Yeah.
I do talk to Joe about, you know, being late and things aren't changing. So maybe we can kind of make that a little bit into it. Like,
yeah,
you know, if they've had that conversation before, like how would they maybe have it again or the initial conversation?
Yeah.
How would they start that?
So let's start with the first part you said. The first one that you mentioned is what if they've already had the conversation? Two things. If it's getting better, even marginally, celebrate it. And I don't mean celebrate with a cake and, you know, pizza party and we have to go all overboard because you showed up for work one day on time when we've been talking about lateness. But just even a nudge to the side to say, hey, you know, we just talked about you being late a lot or a couple times last week. I just noticed that you came in a few minutes early today. I just want to say thanks for that. I appreciate that you took our conversation seriously. So again, it's not, you know, suddenly they're employee of the month on the wall or anything like that, but just a small recognition of the effort that they are hopefully making following the conversation. So that's the first piece. Mm-hmm. Focus on the positive and build on the positive, right? If it's a conversation you've already had, I say in our course all the time, when it comes to both performance or behavior management, but also when it comes to conflict management, I think because we get scared of these conversations and we maybe shy away from them, we hope that the one and done method is going to work, meaning that we have the one conversation, I talk to you once about your lateness and you're just going to get it and it's never going to be a problem again. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that sometimes these bad habits form over years and years and years, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they were in a job before that they were allowed to show up, you know, up to 10 minutes late, no one really said anything. Mm-hmm. Or it's been happening for years and no one's really said anything to them. Or they're just that person that's always disorganized and is almost always running late. And so I say that because I think that in most cases, we should expect that this is a multiple conversation affair. So that conflict that we're trying to get them through is going to be maybe two or three follow-up conversations, or that issue, whether we're talking about lateness, whether we're talking about attendance or being more accountable. We should expect that that might need two or three conversations. An initial one to address, to bring up the issue and say, hey, this is something we got to start working on. And then kind of check-ins along the way to say, yep, you're getting better, but we still have some progress to make. Or, you know, yep, you went from being late about three times a month to now it's one time a month, but I do want to see it get to zero, right?
Right.
Still a little bit of uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. But if we've made progress, then that's exciting because now the conversation is certainly less sort of negative than it was when we initially had the first conversation. So I think if you set yourself up for that expectation of we need to have more than one conversation almost always, then if somehow the problem does solve itself after one chat, awesome, great, we don't have to do a follow-up. But when almost, maybe not almost inevitably, but in lots of cases, when we do have to follow up, we're not sitting there going, oh God, I have to do it again. Instead it's, yeah, I expected that I would need to touch base on this situation or about this problem. So I think that's another thing, is setting realistic expectations for how a problem tends to get resolved, recognizing that bad habits tend to form over a long period of time. And often because a problem was first, was not introduced, but the problem wasn't nipped in the bud originally. And so you might be met with some resistance, right? Well, I've been doing this for years, or the team's been doing this for years, or it's always been like this. And now, you know, now suddenly it's a problem. Why, again, why are you on my back about this? And I think that's a piece too, is that when you start to address some of these problems and give feedback, you probably will be met with a little bit of defensiveness or a bit of a, hey, why are you picking on me? And I think an important piece to think about, and maybe even something you can say in the meetings, is, hey, I'm not saying that it's not a bigger problem that we need to address as a team, but right now we're talking about you. I think that's the way to phrase that, because you don't want to say, ignore what the rest of the team is doing. I don't care what, you know, kind of like, kind of like, you know, I don't care what the rest of the team is doing. No, hey, I'm not saying it's not an issue for the rest of the team, but I'm starting with you, or I'm currently addressing the issue with you. And depending on who that person is on your team, if they're someone that the rest of the team looks up to, if they've been, maybe been on the team a long time, or they just have a lot of kind of moral authority and the team just seems to look up to them and respect them, say that. Say, well, I get that it's a problem with the majority of the team, and it is something we're going to try to get better across the board. But I'm talking to you right now, and we both know that the team looks up to you. We both know that they look to you for guidance and to set the example. So I'm hoping that I can get you on board with this. And I know that getting you on board with this will help the rest of the team get on board because they follow your example. So I think that's a way to put quite a positive spin on something like, hey, you've been showing up late lately, or you know, there's been a lot of kind of missed days that we got to talk about, right? Everybody looks to you. So if you're doing it, they follow your example. Okay.
Yeah, great. Well, really great stuff. Good conversations to have. I know those were only three difficult conversations that you might want to approach of this conversation. So if there are other ones, listeners, that maybe you would like to hear from, you can always get a hold of us. Let us know. We're at hello@uniquedevelopment.com. You can always reach out. Or on YouTube, you can always just shoot us a message.
Or comment on any of the videos you see.
Videos you see. Social media. I'm around on social media. So yeah, let us know. Thanks for joining us on Leader Feeder today. And until next time.